Hi everyone, welcome back to Daily Gospel Exegesis. Our goal here is to help you prepare for the gospel reading you'll hear at today's Mass. So we're giving you an exegesis of the literal sense of the scripture. So we're helping you understand what the gospel text means in its original context, so that when you go to Mass, your heart and your mind will be more prepared to hear what the priest might have to say or the person doing the Mass will have to say about this particular reading. So today we get to a really interesting section of Luke. So we're in Luke chapter 21, verses 5 to 11. When some were talking about the temple, remarking how it was adorned with fine stonework and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All these things you are staring at now, the time will come when not a single stone will be left upon another. Everything will be destroyed." And they put to him this question, "Master," they said, "when will this happen? And what will the sign be that this is about to take place?" "Take care not to be deceived," he said, "because many will come using my name and saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near at hand.' Refuse to join them. And when you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened, for this is something that must happen. But the end is not so soon." Then he said to them, "Nation will fight against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes and plagues and famines here and there. There will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven." So what's the context of this reading? Jesus has just arrived in Jerusalem for the last week of his life. He's cleansed the temple and now he's teaching in the temple. Here he's speaking primarily to people who are already his followers. Keep that in mind. It's mostly Christians that he's speaking to here. So starting at verse 5, it says, "When some were talking about the temple, remarking how it was adorned with fine stonework and votive offerings." So there's people in the audience who are looking at the temple and admiring it. And it was a truly remarkable building. We know from history that the temple had lots of gold and it was made of pure, massive white stones. Some of these stones were nearly 40 feet in length. A lot of these were installed in Herod's renovations in 19 BC. So by the time of Jesus, it was really quite an amazing building. It even had a golden vine at the entrance from which hung these votive offerings. The verse here mentions votive offerings. So those would be gifts dedicated to God. So the people standing around with Jesus are admiring these beautiful big white stones and the gold votive offerings. It was one of the most beautiful and exquisite buildings in the world. Some people have compared it to, maybe it's similar to St. Peter's Basilica today. It had that kind of wow effect when you walked in. And people from that time period, some Roman historians have said that from a distance, the temple looked like a snow-covered mountain. It was that kind of beautiful. So Jesus here notices that people are admiring it. So he uses the opportunity to foretell its destruction. So we're going to see here an extended speech about the destruction of the temple. Keep this in mind. It's specifically about the destruction of the temple. It's not about the end of the world as such. And it's a long speech. What we see here is the first half of what is the Olivet Discourse in Matthew's Gospel. Jesus' speech here has many similarities to Jeremiah's speech in Jeremiah 7, when Jeremiah predicted the destruction of the first temple. Now, interestingly, when Jesus' predictions about the temple are fulfilled in 70 AD, when the temple is destroyed, it's destroyed by fire on the same day and the same month, the 9th of Av, as when the Babylonians destroyed the first temple. So the second temple was apparently destroyed on the anniversary of the destruction of the first temple. So from this, we can see that God does work in patterns. Now, some scholars have looked at this, and maybe some Catholics might look at this sometimes, and they think that here Jesus is talking about the end of the world, the end of time. It can be read that way, certainly, and some people in the tradition of the church have, but I think if we're looking at the literal sense, what's Jesus primarily referring to? He's referring to the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. He's telling his audience what's going to happen to their temple in 70 AD. Having said that, though, we know that the Jews at this time viewed the temple as a model of the universe as a whole. The temple was kind of a mini model of the entire cosmos. So in this sense, the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem foreshadows the temple of the real universe in the future. And that's why when we get to this imagery of the stars will fall and all that sort of thing, there's probably a hint here that the cosmological symbols in the temple are being referred to. And we'll talk about that when we get there. So this is a long speech, and we're just going to see the first part of it in today's reading. So Jesus here says, all these things you are staring at now, so he's talking about the temple, the time will come. So Jesus is giving a prophecy. He's about to predict something that's going to happen, the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. The Jewish people have been attacked lots of times in their history. If you know the Old Testament history, Israel was attacked a lot. And in the lead up to 70 AD, there were many attacks on Jerusalem, but it was only finally destroyed by fire in 70 AD when the leader Titus came in and destroyed the temple. It was a huge event for the Jews. In fact, they've never really recovered from it. If you go to Israel and Jerusalem today, there will still be people that mourn. They physically mourn the destruction of the temple. So this is a momentous occasion that Jesus is predicting here. Now, Jesus has already done this. If you've been listening to the podcast for a little while now, he's already predicted the destruction of the temple in chapter 17 and then again in chapter 19. In fact, in chapter 13, quite early on, he said, Jerusalem, your house will be left to you desolate. And then in chapter 19, he specifically said the reason that Jerusalem will be destroyed is because they reject him as Messiah. So all through the Gospel of Luke, there's this theme that the temple will be destroyed as a punishment from God for rejecting the Messiah. Here, Jesus gives this very specific description of how that destruction is going to look. So he says here, not a single stone will be left on another. And we know from history that by the end of the Jewish-Roman War, the temple was literally dismantled stone by stone. There was no stones left. Apparently, there was nothing left but a field by the end of it. So when Jesus here says, not a single stone will be left on another, think about how shocked the audience would be. Jesus has just said their great temple will be destroyed. That's shocking. So they ask Jesus for more information. They say, Master, when will this happen? And what sign will there be that this is about to take place? So they ask Jesus here two questions. They say, when will this happen? And what sign will there be that this is about to take place? Now, apparently Jesus doesn't answer their first question about precise timing. Jesus doesn't say, when will this happen? He does give them a ballpark, but he doesn't give them an exact date of when it's going to happen. But he does give a very clear and extended answer to their second question, which is, what signs will there be that this is about to take place? He gives them a very clear answer on what signs there will be in the lead up to the destruction of the temple. His focus all the way through here is for his audience, the disciples, to not become stressed or carried away when they see the signs starting to happen. He starts in verse 8 by telling his disciples, take care not to be deceived. Or you can translate that, take care that you are not led astray. So Jesus knows that in the time leading up to the destruction of the temple, there's going to be a lot of messianic fervor. There's going to be a lot of people hoping that the Messiah will come. There's going to be people claiming that they're the Messiah. It's all going to be very political and a lot of people will be excited. A lot of people will be angry. He doesn't want his disciples to be carried away in all the craziness that some of the Jews get involved in the lead up to the destruction of the temple. And he says here, because many will come using my name and saying, I am he. So Jesus here says that before the destruction of the temple, many people will claim to be Christ. And we know that many did claim that. Many claimed to be the Messiah in the years leading up to 70 AD. Some of them got quite a big following, but ultimately they were all killed. We can see a couple of examples of this in scripture. Acts chapter 5 records one example of someone who claimed to be a Messiah. And then AD 56, there's a reference to someone else who leads a rebellion, a kind of a messianic rebellion. And you can read about that in Acts chapter 21. So in the book of Acts, there's examples of people who claim to be the Messiah. And it gets even more heated in the lead up to the destruction of the temple. Jesus here says, the time is near at hand. Refuse to join them. So he says, when these things happen, when the false messiahs start to claim to be the Messiah, the time is near at hand, refuse to join them. So the messianic imposters will claim that the kingdom of God is about to come, and they'll say things like, don't worry, God will protect us, the kingdom of God is about to come, it'll wipe out the Romans. Some people even go so far as to say, I'm the Messiah, I'm the one that will do it. The Zealots in particular were a group who, just before 70 AD, they claimed that they were bringing about the kingdom of God. Some of them did anyway. So Jesus' command here to his disciples is, when you see these things happening, don't join them. That's his advice. Don't get involved in that craziness. Jesus says, when you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened, for this is something that must happen, but the end is not so soon. So Jesus here says there'll be wars and revolutions, but they should not be frightened. Those are things that will and must happen before the final destruction of the temple, but they're not the destruction of the temple themselves. So he says, don't be alarmed about the wars that you hear about. We know that there were lots of wars between AD 30 and AD 70 in the Roman Empire. You just look at history and you'll see that. Particularly, there was great turmoil amongst the Romans after Nero died in AD 68. There was a lot of fighting amongst the leading Romans about who was going to be the next emperor. On top of that, some Jews, like the Zealots, they took every opportunity to try to start revolutions and overthrow the Romans. So Jesus correctly predicts it's going to be a time of great turmoil and many wars. Jesus tells his disciples that these things will happen, and they're all leading up to the big event, but he specifically says, the end is not yet. What does he mean by the end? Of course, lots of people take this to be the end of the world, but that's actually not what it would have meant to Jesus' original audience. The end probably refers to the end of the age, and they had these really interesting ideas about the old age and the messianic age. So basically what the end means is it's the end of the old covenant system. When Jesus says the end will come, it basically means the end of the temple, the end of the old covenant. Now, you might not be convinced by that. That might seem like it's stretching it a bit, but a lot of biblical scholars have made this point. The phrase the end does seem, because of their views at the time, that there'll be two great periods of history. When Jesus says the end will come, he means the end of the first period of history before the messianic age. So the teaching of the New Testament is in AD 70, the old covenant ended and the new covenant, the messianic age, began. Why was the temple destroyed? Well, one reason is that God had to remove the central icon of the old covenant in order to make clear to people that the old covenant was no longer in effect and that the new covenant is beginning. So it was a visible demonstration that the old covenant has ended. It's also an opportunity for God to vindicate his faithful people who've been fighting to survive, basically, and destroy those who refuse to accept the Messiah. So in AD 70, God accomplishes multiple things in Jerusalem and in Israel. Verse 10, then Jesus said to them, nation will fight against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And of course, we know that that does happen leading up to 70 AD. Verse 11, there'll be great earthquakes and plagues and famines here and there. So Jesus predicts there's going to be plagues, famines, earthquakes. These are all natural events. But in the Old Testament, these events often are symbols of divine judgment. God will bring about earthquakes and plagues and famines as a symbol of his judgment. If you look at Isaiah 29 verse 6, Isaiah 51 verse 19, there's references to these things in the Old Testament. So Jesus here is apparently saying that in the lead up to the final big act, the destruction of the temple, God will bring about minor punishments in plagues and earthquakes. We know from history that there was a famine that affected Jerusalem in AD 45 to 48. If you look at Acts chapter 11, it talks about this, and then Paul writes about it in his letters too. Lots of other Roman writers write about this great famine. We know that there was lots of earthquakes too. Colossae was destroyed by an earthquake in the AD 50s. That was a major city at the time. And there was an earthquake in Pompeii as well, around this same time period. Jesus says that all these are necessary signs of judgment, which precede the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, but it's not the final judgment. Then Jesus says there'll be another group of signs. There'll be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. This can be interpreted multiple ways, and some people have thought that Jesus here must be referring to the end of the world, because there wasn't great signs in heaven in AD 70. Actually, that doesn't appear to be the case. If you look at history and Roman historians from this time period, they talk about these incredibly miraculous things that happen in the sky and in the city just prior to the destruction of the temple. And a lot of scholars have said that Jesus' words here about there'll be fearful sights and great signs from heaven, it does seem that Jesus, that God brought about supernatural signs in Jerusalem just before the temple was destroyed. So there's a few strange things that happened. Here's what some historians have recorded. Apparently, in the years leading to the destruction of the temple, there were voices of angels that could be heard from inside the temple saying, we will now leave here. That's kind of spooky, isn't it? But people heard voices from the temple saying, "We will now leave here." So it's like God's protection was removed from the temple, and apparently people heard that voice. Other people said they saw horses running around in the clouds, getting ready for the destruction of the temple. Apparently this is what they saw in the clouds. And then we know that there were prophets walking through Jerusalem night and day, warning of the destruction of the temple. There were clearly prophets sent to Jerusalem to give them one final warning. You might not have heard this before because AD 70 is often neglected by Christians, but it's quite an amazing time period where God is doing some really interesting stuff just before the temple is destroyed. So that's all we have in our text today. Jesus has more to say in this speech in the coming days. He's going to continue to tell them what will happen in the lead up to AD 70. There's no catechism references today, so we'll leave it there. I hope you learned something new. It's quite an interesting section here in Luke 21 where Jesus gets quite specific about the destruction of the temple. Please continue to keep the ministry in your prayers, share the podcast around, and we'll continue tomorrow.